Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, as we stand before you here in the holiest of holies, having entered through the blood and the veil of Jesus' flesh, and knowing that Jesus is our high priest that ever lives to make intercession for us, and knowing that the Holy Spirit has been sent to lead us and to guide us into all truth. And from this place, Father God, we ask that by the might and the power of the Holy Ghost, that you would strengthen us in our innermost being so that we would comprehend the things you want to reveal and unveil to us today. And Father, so we believe you that the eyes of our understanding are opened because of this power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray, Lord God, that not only would we get comprehension, but we believe that there is a grace released, Lord God, even as the word goes forth, that we would be able to respond correctly to that word so that the word would produce in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Say this with me. I am empowered by the Holy Ghost to understand, to receive, and to walk in the Word of God. The grace of God abounds towards me. In the name of Jesus, I receive. Amen. Let's have a seat. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord, praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, I'm continuing this morning on the subject we started last week regarding this arena of prayer. And today I'm specifically targeting the message in this particular area, freedoms in prayer. And this is part one. There's going to be a continuation, but I want you to grasp what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us today. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Now, last week we talked about praying without ceasing, which requires living in a realm of prayer. How are we going to pray without ceasing? I mean, you've got things to do throughout the day. You got the normal activities of life. How could God expect of us, command us, require of us that we would pray without ceasing when there's all these other things to do? I believe that the only way that the way that this is possible is that we have to live in a realm of prayer. We have to live in a constant communication and an awareness, and we have to live with a constant reverential fear of God. Living in a communion fellowship realm with God. It is a realm of hearing God. Now, that is important. It is a realm of hearing God. Now, even as this comes up, let me fast forward and say this. There are voices. Jesus says in the world, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. But he also said the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. Because, you see, there are strange voices that come from other places, that come from the enemy, that comes from our history, that comes from your feelings, that come from your flesh. They will show up as forms of anxiety. They will show up as the cares of this world. They will show up as condemnation, feeling unworthy. They will show up just as distractions. What do I eat when I get out of here? So there are all of these things that come, these strange voices, so to speak. And if those voices are not silenced, then your communion fellowship with God would be hindered. So it is necessary that if we are going to function in this communion realm of God, wherein it is an arena where hearing and hearing the voice of God, recognizing the witness of the Holy Spirit so that we know how to function in life is important. Therefore, it becomes necessary that we will understand and take the measures that are necessary to silence those hindering voices. Amen? All right, but let's leave that aside for now. So we're talking about this realm of prayer, this realm of hearing God's thoughts and having a responsive life to God's initiatives. Interacting with God and functioning in this realm and from this realm. We are looking intently for God's instructions. It is a place of existence in which you are continually acknowledging and honoring God in all things. Now, I'm not sharing this so that you can have a wonderful definition that you can write down regarding prayer, but I'm sharing this that you might capture the spirit of prayer, the spirit of communion and fellowship with God. I'm sharing this so that you can recognize there is a place that God has called us to live in. And it is a realm of fellowship with Him. When we function in that place effectively, we will find that the anxieties and the cares of this world will not have access to us. But God wants us to live here. Say, I live here. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is this place of existence in which you continually acknowledge and honor God in all things, even in the midst of the dishes. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says, even in the midst of a conflict. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son. Into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. John added in 1 John 1, 3, truly our fellowship is with the Father, and it is with His Son Christ. Paul came along and Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. In other words, then, your intimate communion and fellowship is with the entirety of the Godhead. Your communion and your fellowship involves the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It involves the Trinity. Yes, we pray to the Father, but we do fellowship with Jesus. The Holy Spirit is also part of our prayer life. We live in it is like we have a commune with the Godhead. Amen? How amazing. How amazing a miracle it is that here we are, men in the Old Testament, even the great saints of God and Moses and Samuel and David and Isaiah and all of these prophets and all the kings and all of the prophets of God in the Old Covenant, Nehemiah and everyone else. The Spirit of God was able to come upon them. The Spirit of God was able to be with them. But at no time was the Spirit of God able to be in them. Why? Because their spirits were not born again, and they would be as old wineskins, and if the Spirit of God went into them, those old wineskins would burst. If God, who is a consuming fire, had moved on the inside of their born again of their spirit that was not born again, they would be annihilated. Amen. It is for that reason that Jesus, that God has blotted out our sins for His own sake, so that He can recreate us in our born-again spirit, so that He can have this intimate fellowship and communion with us and live on the inside of us. So think of what an amazing miracle it is that here you are sitting in with flesh that came from dirt, so to speak. But in your spirit, you have been born again. You have been recreated by the work of the Spirit of God, so that God Almighty, who is a consuming fire, is able to live on the inside of you. How awesome is that? What a great miracle that is. I believe that is the greatest miracle of all. Amen? That miracle of the new birth, that miracle of your spirit being recreated so that God, the creator of the universe, can live on the inside of you. That's as great a miracle as raising Jesus Christ from the dead. Because when Jesus was raised up, you and I were raised up, and he became the first begotten of them that sleep, but you and I became the second and the third and the fourth and the thousandth. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a new creation. How amazing, awesome, glory, wonderful. It is awesome that God has recreated your human born-again spirit to be His home, to be His dwelling place. God, who is holy, God, who is a consuming fire, lives on the inside of you, in your spirit. You know, sometimes we sing songs that are inaccurate. We sing, you know, that God would draw, that you know, draw me nearer. Draw me nearer, precious Lord. Well, I know there's this aspect of an intimacy that we're desiring when we sing that. But nevertheless, on the level of the words, draw me nearer, God lives in you. How much nearer can it be? And you are in him. In John chapter 14, verse 10, let me just turn to it and read it. John chapter 14 and verse 10, say, God is on the inside of me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, the consciousness and the awareness of God living on the inside of you is to be preeminent. It is the very essence and the uniqueness of Christianity that God himself lives on the inside of you. Now listen to Jesus in John chapter 14 and verse 10. Jesus says, do you believe that I am in the Father? And that the Father is in me. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak them on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me, the Father who dwells in me, he doeth the works. The Father that dwells in me. This was the mentality and the mindset of Jesus. That he and Jesus lived in this conscious awareness of the union with his Father. And he was constantly mindful of the fact that the Father dwelleth in him. That the Father's indwelling presence. Well, you and I must have that same consciousness. You and I must have the same mind that was also in Christ Jesus. That thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but recognizes this oneness. Hallelujah. You and I must have this awareness and this continual conscious awareness that God himself is living on the inside of us, because it is from this place of this conscious awareness of that intimate communication. It is from this place that prayer proceeds. It is in this place that you are able to live in with prayer without ceasing. Prayer without ceasing is a state of existence. It's not only the words that come out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Halabako sondo rabake seke lebe. O rambande ke rebeko shete katababake lababa. Hengondo rebe. Hike rebeka sakaraba. When you comprehend the reality that you are living in the presence of God, that God is living on the inside of you, that there is absolutely no distance between you and him. When you recognize that in the authority of the name of Jesus, you are able to speak and the Father hears and the Father listens to the cry of the righteous, never would you ever think that your prayer feels as if it didn't even hit the ceiling. How can we say that your prayer don't need to hit the ceiling? Why? Because he's right here. He's right here. He is right here. Say he's right here. Put your hands on your tummy. Say God is right here. He lives here. Usha kalaba. Even his mercy seat is here. Ha! Heaven in my heart. Heaven in my heart. Heaven in my heart. This is where you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. In this realm of the spirit, heavenly places in Christ. Oh, Rabaka Shonongo Rabeka di Katamandaya. Hekete beku rakashatikadaba. Mengandiko rombongonde rebeba yalataba. You see, this place and this realm of prayer, this place of intimacy and fellowship with God, it is to enjoy and to intermingle and to participate in his life. But in this realm of prayer, this is the place where you hear. That is why the voices of the enemy and the strange voices must be silent. In this place of prayer and in this place of intimacy, this is the place where you see, and this is the place where you know. This is the place when you step over from just wondering and you step into the place of knowing that you know that you know. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know. Say no. Prayer is this intimate communion fellowship realm that you are to live in with God. Jesus said the Father seeks, desires, and yearns for those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The scripture says, if any man is where? In Christ. If any man is in Christ, he is what? He's a new creation. He is where? In Christ. We must have that consciousness. We must have that awareness. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Hebrews chapter 10, reading from verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with him, with them, after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and I will write them in their minds. Then he adds, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Because you see, where there is remission of these, there is no longer any offering of sins. They are remitted, they are removed. Therefore, brethren, we can have boldness, confidence, no sense of insecurity, shame, or condemnation to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and a living way, which he has consecrated through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. By a new and a living way. New because it didn't exist before Jesus took his blood and put it on the mercy seat. It did not exist before Jesus ascended from hell and was resurrected and ascended to the Father's right hand. It is a new way. And it is alive. But it is also a living way. Because this is where you are now supposed to live. This is where you are supposed to function in and from. This place. Where? In the Holy of Holies. From the very presence of God. Where you too, like as Christ was raised up, you too ascended with him. And you were made to sit together with him. Where? In heavenly places. Where? In Christ. Where? At the Father's right hand. You live here. Say, I live here. And you are to function from here. You know, we talk about binding the devil. We talk about speaking in the name of Jesus. We talk about laying hands on the sick. But we do not do these things from the natural realm. We speak the word of God, and we speak it from where we are, from this place of ascension. We declare the authority in the name of Jesus from this place of ascension. We declare, devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I command you, go, loosen my family. But we speak it from where? The name of Jesus, from that place of authority. This is where this name functions from. This is where your life is. So in this place is where we live. Whatsoever you do, in thought, word, or deed, do everything, everything to the glory of God. Do everything in the name of Jesus. This name functions from his presence. This name functions from his very life. For as he is, so are you in this world. This is where you've been planted. This is where you grow. This is where you function from. This is the new and living way. Say the new and the living way. And having a high priest over this house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of faith. Let us draw near having such confidence because of the blood. Because of the veil of his flesh that was torn, because of his sacrifice, and because he now ever lives to make intercession for us. And he's a high priest over the house of God. And we have his name, we have his authority, we have rights and privileges as the sons of God. For we have been made the very righteousness of God in Christ. That being the case, we live in a place of confidence. We live in a place as the very righteousness of God where we are bold as a lion. And yes, as he is, herein is the love of God made perfect, that we might be called the sons of God. Herein is the love of God made perfect, so that we can have boldness and confidence in the day of judgment. For as he is, so are we in this world. So this is where we live from, and it is from his resurrected life that we live. The Jesus in whom we live and move and have our being is the resurrected Lord of all. The Jesus that we live And in him we live and move, and we have our being. He is the one that has been made the heir of all things. Glory to God. He has got a name which is above every name. He has got authority. All authority in heaven and in earth has been given to him. And in his name, that authority, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to us. So this is where we are. This is how we function. This is the reality and the revelation of even this name after which we are named. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what are we saying? We are talking about a realm, the realm of prayer fellowship. And how do we access this realm? By the application of the sacrifice of Christ. By the application of his shed blood. By coming through the veil of his flesh. Hallelujah. So in summary, because of the sacrifice of Christ, because of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, ascension, his blood, his name, his life, and the word of God that is now ours, the promises, you and I have access into this prayer realm. You and I have fellowship, and it is the very means by which you and I can live here and function here. Think about it. You know, God is so awesome, and the truths of God are deep, and yet they are so simple. It's that God says, look here, the way you get into my presence, the way you get into the holiest and holies, is through the blood, it's through the veil of his flesh. The way you get in here is through the sacrifice. And then he says, the way you live here is the same way. The same way you got in, through the blood and through the application of the sacrifice. How did I get in? Well, the sum total of the sacrifice of Christ and the blood is what is wrapped up in the name of Jesus. So Jesus says, pray in my name. And the very name that is the embodiment of it all, by which you access that place, it is by that very name that you live. So whatever we do it all how? In the name of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Deep, but yet so simple. Oh, shekelebe kuriandaya. Glory to God. So it is the very means by which you and I can live here, function from here, in the everyday affairs of our life. Praise God forevermore. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, the reality of the sacrifice of Christ, when we take it personally, and when we recognized that when Jesus, that we were baptized into his death, when we recognize that God placed us in Christ when he was on that cross, and by the faith of the operation of God, Colossians 2 verse 12, we were part of everything Jesus did in his sacrifice. We have an intimate part and fellowship in whatever he did in this book, in this bread that we receive at communion. We have a common union in this blood that we bless and we declare in communion. We have a common interest, a common share, a common intimate participation. Why? Because we were in him. We were baptized into his death. We were raised up with him by baptism. What is the reality? Here is the reality. This, in a snapshot, your part in this sacrifice. In a snapshot, concise way, the eighth aspect of the sacrifice, here is your part. You were crucified with Christ. That's his death. You were buried with Christ. That's his burial. The old man, that is, was buried with Christ. Number three, you were raised up with Christ. Resurrection. Number four, you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Ascension. Number five, you are continually washed by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus cleanseth us, present continuous from all sins, 1 John 1:7. And as a result, you are forgiven and you are perfectly righteous and established in this new covenant. You have a new covenant. Number six, your reality of being part of this sacrifice, you're part of it. You live in and by the authority of Jesus' name. Number seven, you have the very life of Christ living on the inside of you. And number eight, you have great and precious promises that unveil the various aspects of this new divine nature that is part of your inheritance. Glory to God. Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, ascension, his shed blood, and as a result of that, you have his name, you have his life, and you have his word. The Holy Ghost is on the inside of you, bringing his word to your remembrance. The Holy Ghost is inside of you, giving you divine utterance. The Holy Ghost is on the inside of you, bringing it to your remembrance and saying, ha, take this promise, take this promise. So there we have the word of God alive in you. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Say, I receive this. I believe this. So, let a little shift here now. We're talking about living in this realm. The redemptive work of God that God did in Christ, who is the second Adam, is greater than the work of curse and misery that the devil did in the first Adam. Let's consider that for a bit. What the devil accomplished in the fall of Adam, in creating and causing that separation from God, and the sin, the sickness, the poverty, and all kinds of misery, all of that, all that was the devil accomplished in the first Adam was rectified, solved, and dissolved, and undone when God sent Jesus Christ from the dead and raised him up. When God gave Jesus as the Lamb of God as the sacrifice, the second Adam, what God did in the second Adam, canceled out what the devil did in the first Adam. That is why it says in 1 John 3:8, for this purpose, the Son of God was what? Manifested. What for? To destroy the works of the devil. Now, the grace of God that brings, I'm making the same point, what God did in the second Adam is greater than what the devil did in the first Adam. Why? Because God is greater. Amen? The grace of God that bringeth salvation is much greater than the offense of the first Adam that brought death and curse. Romans 5 verse 20 says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. What does that mean? Emphatically this, that every problem, every misery, every issue of any sort in the human race or in your life, no matter what it is, has its answer and solution in the sacrifice of Christ. Remember, the means by which you get into his presence is the sacrifice. The means by which you live in his presence is the sacrifice. The means that destroy the works of the devil and brought cancellation to all that the devil accomplished in the first Adam is the sacrifice. So the means by which any problem that you could ever have, or any human being in any space and time could ever have, the solution and the answer has got to be found in the sacrifice. If it isn't, then mean the sacrifice was not perfect. There is something else it should have done. But the sacrifice of Christ was perfect. It fixed everything. Do you believe that? I'm telling you, that's such an awesome truth. You know, when you lose, recently, I lost a credit card, or it appeared that if I did, but thank God I don't lose anything. And so I searched everywhere in the house. I searched in the car. But I just didn't feel that it's lost and it's gone. And, you know, we checked the credit card account and there weren't any set of withdrawals of some mysterious manner. So we didn't report the card called lost. But nevertheless, we still decided to order a new car. A little while ago, I was downstairs in the office downstairs. And guess what? I found the old cord. And it was there. Now, here is the point. When I was searching at home, I couldn't find it. You know why? It wasn't there. Here is the thing. When you know where something is, it's easy to find it. It's that simple. So when you know that whatever the problem you're dealing with, that the answer is in the sacrifice, and you need an answer, where do you look? Go look in the sacrifice. Go see, is it in the death? Is it in the burial? Is it in the resurrection? Is it in the ascension? Is it in the promises of God? Is it in the blood? Is it in the life that is in you? Is it in the name of Jesus? It's got to be in there. I don't care what it is. Issue, conflict with people, no matter what it is. Marriage, it is in there. Sickness, disease, it's in there. Poverty, lack, it's in there. Misery of any sort. Oppression, depression. Mental torment. Problems from the history. It's all the answer. Every and any answer to anything that ails or hurts the human race is found in the sacrifice. Oh, that is so wonderful and so simple. You say, but I don't know where the problem is. Well, at least you know this. You know where to search. Does that make sense to you? You know where to, say, I know where to search. Glory to God. Jesus is the answer. Say, Jesus is the answer. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And he is in his sacrifice. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Say, I got the answer. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, that is so awesome that somebody come to you and they tell you whatever the problem is. You know what? I don't care what you tell me. I don't care what your problem is. You can. I'm going to tell you right now. Before you even tell me what the problem is, I'll tell you this. I've got the answer. Amen? Or not, I've got the answer. I know the answer. Whatever your problem, I know the answer. They say, how could you be so arrogant? Because. Say, because. Are you getting this? Glory to God. I believe you got it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. The redemptive work of the second Adam is greater than the effects of the first Adam's fall. In other words, the grace or graces and truth that comes through Jesus. Grace and truth came through Jesus. Because of his sacrifice is God's sufficiency, is God's enablement for you, is God's provision. It is God's ability to help you and to solve any issue in the realm of humanity. This is why Hebrews 4 verse 16 says, oh, you may have some issues. You might not be perfect. You might be dealing with some infirmities of some sort. And he says, nevertheless, oh, just come what? Come boldly. Come boldly. To the throne of what? Judgment? No. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that you might obtain mercy and find help in the time of need. That's why it says that. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5 says, our sufficiency is of God. In 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8, it says, God will cause all grace to abound towards you so that you might have all sufficiency. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It means that all that God is and all that God has is yours. And it is available to you. Romans 5 verse 2 says we've got access into this grace, into this peace, into this place where everything is reconciled to God's original intent. In this place of justification, in this place where it is as if sin has never been. It says in Romans 5 verse 2 that you and I have access into this place by faith. Say, I believe that. All that God is, all that God has, is accessible to you. Why? Because of the blood of the everlasting covenant. Listen to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace, that's the God of wholeness, That is the God that has reconciled everything to his original intent. That is the God who the sacrifice of Christ has put set everything at once again, as if sin has never been. The God of peace, that's the one that bruises Satan underneath your feet shortly. That the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Well, he raised Jesus from the dead because of the blood of the everlasting covenant. You know why? When God heard that blood and God saw that blood declared, death cannot hold him. Right? Hell cannot hold him. Because of the blood, he had to rise again. But now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, to the blood of the everlasting covenant, that eternal and perfect covenant, he makes you perfect. That means what? Complete and whole. That very blood of the everlasting covenant that caused Jesus to be raised up from the dead, that same blood of the everlasting covenant makes you perfect, so that you are well equipped, so that you are complete. What am I saying? This blood of the everlasting covenant, why does it make you perfect? It equips you. How you mean it equips me? How come it equips me? Because that blood joins you to God, all that he is, all that he has, and there is nothing in your life where there isn't something that God is or that God has that wouldn't fix it. Are you with me? Does that make sense? Glory to God. He is our sufficiency. Say, God is my sufficiency. He causes all grace to abound so that I might have all sufficiency in any area, in every area. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why it says that his name is El Shaddai. He is the God that is more than enough. He is your shield and your exceeding great reward. Whoo, Shakala Baba. So then, you know what Jesus says to all of this? Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 36, whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. He is free indeed. Glory to God. Say, I'm free indeed. Hallelujah. Now, this absolute perfect, complete freedom is in you. It's in your spirit right now. Your spirit has been created in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 4:24. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says, you have been called to liberty. You've been called to total freedom. Now I'm talking about freedoms in prayer. You've been called to freedom. Now check this out for a moment. You have a perfect, pure, holy, intimate fellowship and communion and prayer life with God the Father. You have it. You already have it. With the Father, with the Holy Ghost, and with Jesus, who is your Lord. He said, well, how can I say to you that you've got this perfect, pure prayer life? You already have it in your spirit. How can I say this unto you? Let me ask you something. Do you believe having a wonderful, perfect, pure prayer life is a spiritual blessing? Do you believe it is? Well, does the Word of God say in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, that God has blessed you with how many? Every spiritual blessing. Say, I've got a perfect prayer life in my spirit. Say it again. I've got a perfect prayer life, a communion, fellowship of prayer, an intimacy with my Father, with Jesus, with the Holy Ghost in my spirit. I got it. So all you got to do now is work it out. Just work it out. Bring it out into your soul. Bring it out into your body. Bring it out into your life. Amen. All means all. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Hallelujah. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. The Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are living with you. and are living in you. You have an intimate fellowship with them. Colossians 2 verse 9 says that the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ bodily. And then verse 10 says, you are complete in him. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17 says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So this is the ultimate reality. This is the truth that is established forever in heaven. This is the truth. And when you act upon that truth, what will happen? That freedom that is in your spirit, those freedoms that are in your spirit will rise up and come into your soul and into your body and into your life. That's providing you know these truths and apply them. That's what Jesus said. You shall what? Know the truth. And it's going to produce the manifestation of freedom. You shall know the truth, and that truth will make you free. This is the truth. And when you act upon this truth, it will bring that freedom and that prayer fellowship that you already have on the inside. It's going to bring it to the outside. Oh, how can you say that? How can you say that you've got this intimate, wonderful, awesome prayer life in your spirit? Do you have scripture for that? Yes, I do. Say, yes, I do. Romans chapter 7, verse 22 says that you delight in the law of God after the inner man. Oh, your spirit man has such an intimate fellowship, hunger, desire for that relationship with God. He lives there. Your spirit man doesn't enjoy it when you start watching blue smoke and gun smoke and whatever other kind of smoke. No. He enjoys this fellowship in which he lives. Say, I live here. Now, you notice, I'm identifying you as your spirit man. Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Who are you talking about, Paul? Paul is talking about his spirit man. Paul is talking about that new creation. Paul is talking about this workmanship that is in Christ Jesus. Paul is talking about this new man that is created in righteousness and true holiness. Paul is talking about this man on the inside that is the product of the perfect sacrifice of Christ. He has an awesome, intimate fellowship with God. But you got to know the truth. And you got to act on the truth. Jesus says, you act upon the truth, you shall know the truth. The truth will make you free. Acting on the word of God is necessary for you to have results. You've got to act on the truth. You got to know the truth and act on the truth. It is the acknowledgement of the truth that produces the God kind of life. The life that God has for you. Titus 1 verse 1. The last part of that verse, the acknowledgement of the truth is what produces this God kind of life called godliness. Philippians chapter 2 says, you, not me for you, not somebody else, but you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You pull out that prayer life in your spirit with fear and trembling. You pull out the freedoms that you have in your spirit. Pull it out. Draw it out. You pull out that divine healing and health that is in your spirit. You pull out that freedom from the accusations and the judgments and so on of men. You pull it out of your spirit. You pull out of your spirit the reality of that old man being crucified and flesh and offense not having authority over you. You've got it. Pull it out. You've got this treasure. You've got these treasures in earthen vessels. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's something you got to do. Now, here's what happened now. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 13 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, guess what? There's going to be liberty. In other words, when the Holy Ghost has lordship, he will produce that liberty in your life. But he has to have lordship. The Holy Spirit has to have lordship. It means your life must come underneath the government of the Holy Spirit, which incidentally is the very purpose of the new covenant, to bring all men underneath the government of the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. And that starts with you. That starts with me. The kingdom of God that is in you. The kingdom of God is in you, is it not? But this kingdom of God that is in you must reign over you, must reign over all of you and all of your life. This kingdom of God is not a place. Jesus says, if somebody tells you, oh, the kingdom is over here, oh, the kingdom is over there, don't listen to them. Don't go with them. Luke 17, verse 20. He says, because the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. It's not a place. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is the reign of God. It is where he rules. It is where he is Lord. It is where he expresses himself and he expresses his glory, his excellence, his goodness. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus says, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will come. We will come and we will love him. And we will come and we will make our abode with him. We're going to move in and live. Amen? Say, God has moved in. And he lives in me. Now, all of divinity has been set up in your heart. The government of God is in your spirit. And so Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you besides. Christianity is Christ in you. It is not Christ with you. It is not Christ among you. But it is Christ in you. Now, this prayer communion realm that God is calling you and I into, it is a place of life exchange. Say life exchange. In this place of prayer, in this place of intimacy, it is almost as in a marriage bed. There is an intimacy. There is a closeness. There is a oneness. There is a life exchange. So, it is a place of life exchange in this realm, in this arena. It is in the place where you lose sense of your very own will because you abandon your will to him. It is in a place where your needs even disappear because they just vanish away because you're just in a place of seeking first his kingdom, his will, his purpose, his dreams, his vision. You're just being infused with his life and you're being infused with his thoughts. Your affection is so set above. This is the place. This is the intimate fellowship and communion that Jesus has died and paid a price that you and I can live in. Say, I live here. Our desire such that will worship me, the Father says, in spirit and in truth. It is a place of this life exchange where we commit our life to God in exchange for the fullness of his life. Jesus is the head. We are the body, the fullness of him. Herein, again, is a... Now, this is us... Now, I'll make a slight little shift. Just a little 35 degrees shift. Is that okay? And here is another window of comprehension into communion. Galatians 2:20 says, you are crucified with him. It's no longer you that live, but it is the life of Christ. His life for my life. A perfect exchange has taken place. And this is what is happening. This is what you're celebrating in communion. There's a perfect exchange that has taken place because of the sacrifice of Christ, because of his shed blood and his broken body. It's a transactional, some transactions are taking place in this realm of prayer. Instead of sin, you are made the righteousness of God in Christ. Instead of being separated, you are made one with God. Instead of being rejected, you are now accepted. Instead of you, in this place, you're no longer poor. But he was made rich, that you through his poverty might be made rich. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. The exchange of your poverty for his riches. In this place, instead of sickness and disease, what happened? Divine health is now yours. For he bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases, and by his stripes you are healed. You are now members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. In this place you are no longer cursed, but you are blessed and you are highly favored. For cursed is everyone that hangeth upon the tree. He became a curse for you, so that you are redeemed from the curse of the law. And the blessing of Abraham is yours. Galatians 3, verse 13 and 14. In this place, what is happening here? There's an exchange. Jesus has given you his life in exchange for your life. That's the power of the cross. Amen. When you lay down your life, you could take up his. It's no longer you that live, but it's Christ that liveth in you. You've been crucified. So this is what you are also celebrating. And you are proclaiming, and you are announcing in communion. It says you do show the Lord's death till he come. Every time you take this bread, every time you take this cup, and you receive it in communion, and you're saying, I have a common union, I have an intimate participation in everything that Jesus did in his body and in his blood, everything he did in his sacrifice. It says you do show the Lord's death till he comes. What do you mean show the Lord's death till he comes? That word show means you do pronounce, you do proclaim, you do announce. You are saying, I recognize that because of his death, the one that made this will has died. Therefore, this will is in force. And I can receive the inheritance. I can receive the exchange. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John 6:53, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have my life. Excuse me. This communion fellowship and this life exchange is the essence of your intimate prayer life. So I'm just scratching my throat, but I rebuke it in Jesus' name. This communion fellowship and this life exchange, this is the very essence of your intimate prayer fellowship and communion with God. With God your Father, in the power of the Holy Ghost, in the holiest of holies. This is the new and living way. This is where you live. This is the place and the very essence of you praying without ceasing. Men ought always to pray. Men ought always to stay in this fellowship, communion, and conscious awareness of God's indwelling presence and this unbroken, secure fellowship that you have with him because of his blood. Now, Hebrews 10, verse 22 goes on to say, draw near, therefore, with a true heart and full assurance of faith. That means that you are to have draw near. You are to have confidence. Not having any schisms or issues and angsts or anything else that is corrupting and hindering your communion fellowship with God. But draw near in full assurance of faith. The fact is this, that there is a devil. He is defeated, but he is a devil. And he, because he's defeated, he will resort to deception. To do what? Steal the truth from you. The very truth that I'm sharing with you today. Then there is the world. The world will allure you into its carnal reasonings and arguments and logic. And then there is self, the flesh nature, that wants to operate in your body, that wars against your spirit. And together, the devil, the world, and your flesh, they put up hindrances to you living and functioning in this new and living way. They put up hindrances to stop you from functioning in this place of rest, this place of communion with your Father, this place of intimate fellowship. So these things pop up to hinder you. Anxiety, worries, cares, fears, the effects of yesterday, history, concerns about tomorrow, negative environments, stress, conflict with people, sin consciousness, self-righteousness, distractions, condemnation, guilt, feelings of unworthiness, fear of man, unholy agreements and alliances, curses of various sorts, all hindrances. Now, here is the good news. Say good news. Now, you know the good news has got to be the gospel. The good news is the sacrifice. Here is the good news, the gospel, the sacrifice that is the answer to what? To every one of these issues, every one of these hindrances that the world, the devil, and the flesh could throw up. The sacrifice of Christ is the answer to them all, and it can deliver you from every hindrance to your communion prayer life, and it can silence every voice that is against you. So that Isaiah 54 verse 17 will become your experience and testimony, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue and voice that rise up against you in judgment, it is silenced, because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and your righteousness is of God. All of those hindrances can be silenced. And it is important that they be silenced, because if they're not silenced, you are in this prayer realm for a reason. Fellowship with God for a reason, so that you can hear his instructions, so that you can see, so that you can know. And when these hindrances are allowed, it affects your hearing, it affects your seeing, it affects your knowing. So it affects the very things that you're supposed to come out of this fellowship time of prayer. The things that need to be functional in your life, the hearing and the seeing and the knowing, it hinders those things. So we got to deal with the hindrances. And for that, you got to come back next week. This is where we're going to go next week. Removing the hindrances and possessing your freedoms in prayer. Amen? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's stand, let's pray. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Say, Lord, I receive this. Lord, I receive this. Say, thank you, Lord, for this communion fellowship that I have with you. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of an intimate prayer life that I have in my spirit. And Father, I thank you that by the power of the Holy Ghost and by the truth of your word, I am drawing out this prayer life out of my spirit so that it becomes my experience. And I can live in this place of intimacy, hearing your voice, sensing the witness of the Holy Ghost, knowing your leading, seeing into the realm of the Spirit, seeing as you see. Thank you, Father. I believe. And I open up my heart, and I open up my life, and I say, have your own way. Have your own way. Do this work of transformation in me. I surrender. I surrender all. I yield to you. Thank you, Lord, for the work of the Holy Ghost, the work of your Spirit, the work of the blood, the work of your word that is at work within me, both to will and do your good pleasure. In the name of Jesus, amen.